weekend? Everyone having a good time? Oh, come on. I think some of you are still asleep. Let's try that one more time. Are you having a good time? What'd you think of last night with the Newsboys? All right. They did pretty good. You know, wasn't sure with the whole Michael Tate switching out, but they're good. Hey, we're going to have a great time here this afternoon worshiping God through a great challenge to you. I hope God speaks to your heart. But before we get our special guest up here, a couple of announcements. Don't forget, after the breakout seminar here, there is a break, but you want to be back down to the main stage area at 5:15 for welcome and announcements. And check out this lineup. 5:25, Red takes the stage to kick off the night. Then a worship session with Chris Tomlin. I think he's put out a few good songs. Our main message tonight, Mr. Louis Giglio. And then a full concert by Chris, followed at 9:50 by Third Day to close out the night of music. Any Third Day fans here? All right, so be sure to get there early and get your spot. But hey, after Third Day is done, the night is not over. We have a great opportunity to worship together through communion. Now, I know communion can be funny, and each church does a different schedule, and you have your own tradition, but don't blow communion off because you say, oh, I can do that at church. You know, anytime we have the opportunity to share in communion and remember what the Lord did for us, and especially with a greater number of our brothers and sisters, it's just such a great opportunity. So don't take off after the concert tonight. Hang out for a time of communion together. It's going to be a great time. Well, my name is Dave Jones. I'm here this week working with Creation Radio, sponsored by Rev FM. So you can always check out 88.7. A little different this year. We do not broadcast everything from the main stage. But if you are back at your camp, you can turn it to 88.7, which is Creation Radio for the week, and you can get updates, and we give you little teasers as to what's taking place on main stage. So be sure to check that out. Well, I had the privilege last year of introducing our guest and know a little bit about him here. He has a great heart for God. Just a couple things here. All for Jesus is what he is about. He loves telling other people about Jesus. He's been mentored by some of the great evangelists, either through reading their material or actually hanging out with them. Influences such as Billy Graham, Luis Palau, he had the opportunity to work with. So he's done some great things. God just took this man's heart because he was willing to give it to God, started his own foundation reaching people across the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Would you please help me welcome from Oregon, where he lives with his wife and three children, Mr. Reed Saunders.
Thank you. Thanks, Dave. Appreciate you, buddy. Thank you.
Hey, take care, bro.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much. Isn't this a great setting to worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Isn't it awesome? You guys having a great time at Creation like I am? How many of you believe that, you know, God has been really working on your heart this week so far? How many of you guys are just sensing that? I sure am. I was talking to Pastor Harry just a few minutes ago, and it's just amazing to see how God is moving here at the festival. I'm excited for Ghana Fest. How many of you have been hearing about the Ghana Fest we've been talking about? Okay, this is going to be amazing. We'll be partnering with Come Alive International, Pastor Harry Thomas, the Creation Festivals. We're going to be partnering with Compassion International, and we're going to do a huge festival this coming January, 21st through 31st. We have some packets up here if you want to sponsor some kids from Ghana with Compassion, and you can go and meet your child while you're over there in Ghana. It's a great and unique opportunity. We're working with several churches from the city of Accra right there in Ghana. We're expecting between 60 to 70,000 people a day. Many of them have never even heard the good news of Jesus Christ. So it's going to be a great opportunity. We're going to bring a medical team. We got extreme sports, some skateboarders, BMX guys. We're going to do a pastor's conference, a women's conference. The schools are wide open, so you can literally go into the schools, preach the gospel, and ask kids to make a decision for Christ right there. It's amazing. And we got great follow-up as we're working with the churches. So if the Lord lays it on your heart, love for you to come. We have a Ghana Fest booth right in there. Come and visit with me afterwards. That would be great. So I'm excited to see what the Lord's going to do in Ghana. But even more so, I'm excited to see what God's going to do right here, right now in your life. I'll give you a little bit of background about myself. I grew up in California, Petaluma. They always say you can Petaluma, but you can't Petaluma. Anyway, it's kind of a bad joke, but people laugh all around the world about it, so it's pretty good. Anyway, I live now in Salem, Oregon. Been married to my wife, Carmen, 12 years as of last Sunday. We have three kids. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. We have three kids. Our oldest son is named Aslan, that's right, from C.S. Lewis. He's 9. A little girl, Miley, who's 7, and a little boy named Tobin, who is 4. and he is just like Dennis the Menace. So as we get going, I want to tell you a little bit about myself so you can kind of laugh with me. Let me ask you, how many of you guys have something about yourself that people tease you about? Let me see your hands, okay? All right, many of you. Well, for me, it's the fact that I sound like a girl on the phone. This is really embarrassing. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I pick up the phone at home. I go, hello, and they go, Carmen, which is my wife's name. I go, no, it's Reed. I've had telemarketers call up and say hello, and I go, hi. They go, are you the woman of the house? I go, no, I'm the man of the house. They go, sorry, and they hang up. That's how you get rid of telemarketers. But I'll give you my top two. Recently, I came back from Romania. I was sharing the gospel, and God did some great things. I came home visiting with my family, and about 2 hours later, I went up to my little girl Miley's room. Her back was turned to me. I think she was praying with, like, her little princess dolls, Ariel, or, you know, whatever. Her back was to me, and I said, hi, sweetie. How you doing, Miley? And she turns around, and her eyes get real big. She's shocked. She says, oh, Daddy, it's you. I thought you were Grandma. You sound just like her. So that word mother-in-law in the Saunders home's a whole new story. Anyway, that was pretty embarrassing. I'll continue. So this is a time when I was in Romania. This was a couple of years ago. And I was speaking in an event, and I obviously don't speak Romanian, so I was using a translator, and I'm during my message, there's this dear elderly woman about two rows back, and throughout my whole message, she keeps shouting out, you know, Yama, Yama, in Romanian. So I had no idea what she was saying, so I just kept going. Finally, I get done with the message, and I turned to my translator, and I said, hey, what was this lady talking about the whole time? He started to blush, and I could tell he didn't want to tell me, but I kept pursuing, you know, an evangelist would keep going. So what'd she say? He said, well, she kept shouting out, amen, mama. Yes, mama. It turns out, true story, she was blind, but not deaf. She couldn't see me. She could just hear me. Anyway, pretty humbling. But anyway, now that you know that about me, that I sound like a girl on the phone, my biggest passion in life is telling people about Jesus Christ. You know, I gave my life to the Lord at the age of 17, and God really placed this burden, this passion in my heart with an enthusiasm and a zeal to tell people about Jesus Christ. And my heart's cry for you today is that you will live your life out loud for Jesus Christ. Say out loud. Now say Jesus. Jesus. Do it again. Say Jesus. Jesus. You know, one thing I remember distinctly growing up is that I had so many friends that I hung out with in school that said they loved Jesus, that said they were living their life out loud for the Lord, that never told me about Jesus Christ. And I remember that so distinctly that if they really cared about me, why didn't they tell me about Jesus Christ? And really, my heart's cry for you is that you will get excited not only about living your life for Jesus Christ, but excited to live your life that you might honor the Lord by the way that you live for him each and every day. So I want to talk about living your life out loud. Because when I think about Christians who kind of sit or stand still when God wants them to act, speak, and move, I'm reminded of the story of this guy named Bill Fuqua. Anyone heard of Bill Fuqua? Okay, anyway, he's the current Guinness Book World Record champion at doing absolutely nothing. Okay, this guy stands so still in front of amusement parks, fairgrounds, you name it, that often he's mistaken as a mannequin. Fuqua got his unique talent at the age of 14, that if for a joke, he stood still in front of a Christmas tree. This woman came by and she touched him and she said, oh, I thought he was a real person. And he is. And my question to you is, when people are around you, do they question if you're really a follower of Jesus Christ? Now, I'm not here to beat you up. I'm here to encourage you as your brother in Christ. Because recently I was shocked and actually saddened when I found this statistic. People from the ages about 15 to 29, unsaved people, were interviewed. And what they came back from the results of this survey was that the average unsaved person, the majority of this percentage of people that were interviewed, said they could not see the difference of the lifestyles lived out of their Christian friends versus their unchristian, non-Christian, unsaved friends. Think about that. The average unsaved person, ages 15 to 29, that's many of you, said they could not see the difference of the lives of their Christian friends versus their non-Christian friends. That's tragic, right? And really, my prayer is that you and I will get serious. As we've been here at Creation, been worshiping the Lord, you know, are we going to live that out for Jesus Christ every day, saying, Lord, I want you to use me for your glory, for your honor, and for your praise? And so you say, well, Reed, how can I live my life out loud? I really believe the answer lies in Luke 9:23, when Jesus says, if anyone come after me, he must deny himself. Say, deny myself. Say, deny myself and take up my cross and follow me, Jesus says. Now, how do you do that? You probably heard the illustration, right? The car is your life. And fully surrendering your life to Jesus means you get in the passenger seat, give the keys to Jesus, and say he's in control. You may have heard about this too, that when you're here at Creation, are you so excited for Jesus that you're kind of like a Superman Christian? I had a lot of friends like that. They seem like they just love Jesus. They're so excited. But when you get away from Creation, are you kind of like Clark Kent? I mean, think about that. You and I, to be bold for Jesus Christ. I love what Paul said in Romans 1, 16 through 17. He said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. Say, not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Why? Because it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. To say, God, you know what? I'm tired of living my life for me. I want you to be number one. I want you to have full reign in my life. You know, when Jesus said in Matthew 5, he said that you and I are the light of the world. The light of the world. Three things I want to leave with you today. Three things about living your life out loud. The first thing is I want to encourage you to be courageous for Christ. Say courageous for Christ. Say courageous for Christ. You know that every day you and I have an opportunity to take a stand for Jesus or to sit down, right? To go to the plate for Jesus or to sit in the dugout. In fact, the saying goes, if you don't stand for something, then you'll fall for anything. When I think about living life for Jesus Christ, I can't think about anything greater than having Jesus Christ, my Lord, my Savior, and my best friend, as number one in my life. And I know it's hard to live the Christian life, but we got to remember what the Paul wrote in Philippians 4:13. He says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. All things. And we know 1 John 4:4 says that he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. And I believe that key to living your life for Jesus Christ is to spend time with him every day. I mean, isn't it amazing the God who made the heavens and the earth made you and I for a relationship with him? It's amazing. As I've traveled the world, one thing that's so amazing in talking to people from all different backgrounds and religions is that they're so intrigued that the God of the Christians is a personal God. You ever thought about that? The God who made everything, this beautiful area here in Agape Farms, made you for a relationship with him. That he loves you more than anything. And so the first thing I want to say today is if you're struggling, I want you to know that God knows your pain. He loves you and he cares about you. But he also cares about your friends, your neighbors, and your coworkers. And he's given you the exciting opportunity to live your life out loud for him. Because the saying is true that the only Jesus people may see is Jesus they see in you. And so you and I can be courageous for him. Now, when I think about what it looks like to be courageous for God, I'm reminded from the Word of God of the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You guys heard of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Let's see your hands. Okay, I love these guys, right? They were sold out for God. Now, the story is found in Daniel chapter 3. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there with me if you would like to. And the situation is King Nebuchadnezzar has built this huge statue, 90 feet high, 90 feet wide. It's huge. And the people are told that whenever all this music went off, they were bow down and worship this image. Verses 4 through 6 of Daniel 3 says this. It says, this is what you're commanded to do, O peoples, nations, and men of every language. As soon as you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and all kinds of music, you must fall down and worship the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. But here's the kicker. It says this. Whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace. Wow. I mean, talk about peer pressure, right? If these guys don't bow down to this statue, there may come Pop-Tarts in this huge fiery furnace. That's intimidating. Now, I can imagine Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego were there with their fellow Israelites. And they're probably saying, hey, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we worship God like you do. We really love God. But here's the thing. I don't want to get fried in this fiery furnace. So God knows my heart. When all the music goes off, I'll just pay homage to this statue like everyone else, and then I'll ask God for forgiveness later. and we take a quick pause and look at our own lives. How many times you and I compromise being courageous for Christ? Instead, we're cowards because we don't want people to think that we're weird, right? I mean, I remember that playing football. I got the privilege of playing football with a guy in college that got 2 Super Bowl rings with the Cowboys. He was really good. But the thing I remember about that is so many of my friends, after they said they were followers of Christ, would go do the party lifestyle, would do all these different things. And I thought, man, if you really love Jesus, you know, why are you going that route? And they're like, well, Reed, we got an image to keep up, you know? I'm sure God won't mind what we do during the week as long as we show up on Sunday. That's what my friends are telling me. I'm like, yeah, I'd be crazy. And I think so often we fall into the web of peer pressure, you know, listening to things that we shouldn't, looking at things that we shouldn't, you know, doing things that don't honor the Lord. But the more that you and I think about the love of God for us and his son Jesus, I think the more we think about the cross where Jesus died for our sins and rose again from the grave, I think the closer we see God's love for us, our natural response will be go back and love God with all we got and say, you know what? I don't care what my friends think. I don't care what my neighbors think. I don't care what people think. I would rather have you, Jesus, than anything else. Than anything else. Right? Amen? So let's take a look at how Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego responded. In verses 16 through 18 of chapter 3, I love this. They said, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. Wow! What a display of being courageous for God. In fact, the king got so mad at these guys, they pumped up this furnace 7 times hotter than normal. It was so intense that when some of the guards opened up the door to throw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in, they were singed on the spot. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are thrown in there. The king's sitting back there saying, yeah, I finally got to get those rebel guys that love God. And also he's like, what's that? I thought there was 3 men and now there's 4 in there. What's going on? God sent an angel to rescue Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In fact, they came out, they didn't even smell like smoke. That's amazing. Now, God honored their faith, but that might not be the case with us. I mean, a lot of people every day that die for Jesus Christ. Now, many of you, who knows, maybe God will lead you to the mission field and you might die as a follower of Christ. But literally, every day we should die, right, for ourselves as we give our lives our all, give God our all. How many of you have been following kind of all the school shootings that have been going on around our country, right? Quite a few. Well, one that stands out for me, when I was a student, the Columbine. How many of you heard of the Columbine? Okay, probably most of you. Well, I remember it like it was yesterday when I heard this story. It was just tragic of students coming in and killing and injuring teachers and students alike. But one thing that stands out to me was this one girl named Cassie Bernal. Now, she was known in the school as someone who was courageous for God, right? She really loved God. In fact, this one gunman sought her out. He was looking for her. And he found her, and he pointed a gun at her. And he looked at her, and he asked her the million-dollar question, right? He said, do you believe in God? Now, at that moment, who would have faulted Cassie, right? She could have just said, no, no, whatever, right? But I love how she responds. She looked at that gunman, and with that passion, she said, I do believe in God. And though he pulled the trigger and her life ended that day on earth, she's now with Jesus. She's been a constant reminder to me what it means to be courageous for Jesus Christ. And I praise God for Cassie's testimony, and I look forward to meeting her in heaven one day. But you and I, we have that opportunity to be courageous for God every day. And that's really my prayer for you, that you will be so in love with Jesus Christ that you won't care what other people think. Secondly, I want to encourage you to be compassionate in your actions for Jesus. Say compassionate. Say compassionate for Christ. You know, recently I was reading this illustration or an article that really troubled me. Apparently there was this woman in the grocery store. They didn't name the store, but she's in this grocery store. She starts having some heart trouble or not feeling very well. She falls down on the ground and she's literally dying. And the surveillance cameras caught all these people walking by this woman. I mean, can you imagine this, guys? Here's this woman, she's dying in an aisle, right, like the cereal aisle of a grocery store, for example. And all these people are walking by. No one stopped to help. In fact, one guy had the audacity to take his, you know, picture phone, whatever, his iPhone, whatever it was, and take a picture of her and walk on by. And the sad thing is this woman died. And the paramedics got on the scene and they said that if this, someone would have helped this woman 5, 10, 15 minutes ago, she'd be alive right now. But no one stopped. You know, Jesus said the second greatest commandment is to love our neighbor as ourself. Now, most of us hopefully would stop if someone was dying, but think about in a spiritual sense. Think about all the people that you know that are spiritually dying apart from Christ and headed to hell. Do you know that I believe the greatest way that you can show love to someone is to love them enough to tell them about Jesus Christ? And I want you to think for a moment of someone in your life that you know that doesn't know Jesus. Maybe a friend, maybe a neighbor. How many of you have loved ones that don't know the Lord? So you're not okay? I mean, for me, it's my sister, Andrea. She's a lawyer in California. You can feel for my parents, right? They have two kids. One's an evangelist. The other one's a lawyer. So in our home, we get all the lawyer jokes and then the evangelist jokes. But do you know that I pray for my sister every single day? I pray for two things. One, that she'll give her life to Jesus, obviously. But also that God will put someone in her life that can tell her about the Lord. And that God will give me continued opportunities to share that with my sister. One thing I want you to remember, though, I believe the enemy places this lie in our heads that people don't want to hear about Jesus. Or maybe you've heard this. They say, hey, you don't know my friend or my loved one. They're so far from God. There's no way they could come to Jesus. Isn't that the biggest lie of all time? We never give up on people. Why? Because we never give up on God, right? And God can soften the hardest of hearts. He softened yours, right? Mine, for all of us who know Christ. So every day I pray for my sister, and I want to encourage you as well. Put that in your Bible. People that God has put in your sphere of influence or on your heart, to pray for them every day. Pray that God will work in their heart and they'll come know the Lord, but that God will give you opportunities to tell them about Jesus. Because you've heard the saying, people won't care what you have to say until they see how much you care, right? And people want to know that you actually care about them before you talk to them about God. So build that relationship. So be compassionate in your actions for Jesus. To me, a good biblical example of what that looks like is the story of the Good Samaritan. How many are familiar with the story of the Good Samaritan, okay? Well, if you have your Bibles, let's jump over there real quick to Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. I'll go ahead and read it. It says, on one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? He replied. How do you read it? He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You've answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. Verse 29. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, well, who's my neighbor? In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So to a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. Verse 33. But then a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. Other translations say he had compassion on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Verse 36, which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. One example about what it means to be compassionate for Christ. And I love the story Jesus gives of this man is on his way down to Jerusalem, gets beaten, he's laying there half dead. And he tells about 3 guys that showed up. The first guy to come by is a priest, or like a pastor, right? If you're sitting there at the feet of Jesus and he's telling this story, put yourself kind of in the audience right now. So here's this man laying half dead, and a priest comes by. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm thinking the priest is going to stop, right? He's like a pastor. This guy's laying here dead, almost like
back when I was talking about the illustration at the supermarket. But anyway, here's this man laying half dead, says the priest goes by. Too busy, I'll stop some other time. Next comes a Levite. Now, a Levite's supposed to be a holy guy, right? He's a keeper of the temple. You're thinking, this guy's going to stop, right? No, he goes by, probably like, unclean, unclean, if you know what I mean, gone, right? Finally, a Samaritan comes. I bet when Jesus said, but a Samaritan, got silent. Why? Because as you know, the Jews and Samaritans hated each other. When the northern side of Israel got invaded by Assyria, some of the people intermarried, and so they were known by the Jews, the full breeds, as the half-breeds, the Samaritans. So they hated each other. And because the Jews hated the Samaritans in turn hated the Jews. So when Jesus said, but a Samaritan, the people in the audience were like, what? This guy's a Samaritan? This guy's a Jew? He's probably going to finish him off, right? Just kick him down the cliff. They hate each other. It's his enemy, right? No. But Jesus said he took pity, or he had compassion on him, took care of him, bound up his wounds, and paid for his stay till he got better. What an illustration, right? And God wants you and I, as followers of Jesus Christ, to love people enough to show them the love of Christ and to share Christ with them. Because it's amazing what happens when people see Jesus in you. God can do great things. I remember this time I was in Africa, and we were in an area where there's a lot of Muslims, and we were doing a bunch of street cleanup projects. We're going to do that in Ghana as well. But it's a great way to show the love of Christ as we share the good news of Christ. So we were going through cleaning up the streets, and we had these little brochures about the festival. And I remember giving this one to this young man who was working in a shop. His name was Moses. And we gave him the flyer and said, hey, come to the festival. He looked at me and said, no, no. He says, I'm a Muslim. I can't come to the Christian festival. No way. So we just, I remember praying for Moses, and we walked on along. Later that day, we had a soccer match. Now, people in Africa love soccer. How many soccer fans we have here, okay? Wasn't it nice to see the women's in the World Cup win 2-0 the other day? It's good. So anyway, there was a soccer match, and two teams played each other, and then I shared the gospel at halftime. And then I gave people an opportunity to receive Christ, and who do I see coming forward but the same young man, Moses. And as he's coming forward, about 10 of his buddies, they're mocking him, they're jeering, they're like, what are you doing? You're a Muslim, don't give your life to Jesus. But God got a hold of Moses' heart and came forward to give his life to Jesus. Well, we found out that Moses' dad is a Muslim cleric. You may not know what this is, but Muslim clerics are like a pastor, very high up in the Islam faith, right? So as you can imagine, Moses' dad wasn't very happy that his son had just given his life to Jesus. So Moses gets home, and his dad took all of his belongings. Okay, this is Africa, so we're not talking a lot of things. There's no iPads, iPods, whatever. Just a few things on the front of his step. And his dad looked at his son, and he said, Moses, you either renounce your faith or your family. That's big. Most of us in America don't have to deal with that. Moses looked at his dad and said, Dad, I love you, but I made this decision for Jesus Christ my own. There's no turning back. So Moses goes and stays at his uncle's house. The next day, Moses' uncle shows up at the compound with Moses, and he says, tell me about this Jesus that my nephew Moses keeps talking about. So he shared the good news of Jesus Christ with Moses' uncle, and Moses' uncle gives his life to the Lord. It's great. Well, later that day, we had a pastor's conference, and Moses was invited to come to learn more about the Lord. And he says, can I bring a friend? We're like, sure. So Moses goes out and brings one of his friends. At the pastor's conference, Moses' friend comes up and says, hey, can you tell me about this Jesus that my friend Moses keeps talking about? So we share the gospel of Moses' friend, and right there, Moses' friend gives his life to Jesus. And we're getting pretty excited here. If you're a Muslim or a Hindu, if you give your life to Jesus, you know, they change their name. So Moses' name before wasn't Moses, but I can't pronounce it, so I talk it to what he changed it to, which is Moses. So his uncle gives his life to Jesus, changes his name to Aaron, and then his friend gives his life to Jesus and changes his name to Elijah. I'm thinking, this is a great mission trip. We got the law and the prophets, right? Woohoo! Moses and Elijah. Yes. Anyhow, so later on that day, we had a festival, and Moses decides, he says, you know what? I got some more friends that don't know about Jesus. I'm going to go invite him. So he goes out and invites three more of his friends to come to the festival. And at the invitation time for people to receive Christ, who do I see coming forward but Moses hand in hand with three more of his friends? Now, by now, Moses is getting several death threats. As you can imagine, former Muslim now following Christ and really making Christ known and really reaching his friends is amazing. So he had to have security for Moses. And the following day, Moses says, hey, Reed, why don't you come to my house? So it was kind of like a covert operation. His dad was away on business, so I got all my camouflage and started going through the African grass. Not really. It just sounds good, though, huh? Anyway, so I ended up going to Moses' house and just beautiful little African home. He got some chickens running in the ground, a little drawstring hanging up clothes in the beautiful African sun. Beautiful place. Beautiful people. So we get there, and there's Moses' mom, three sisters and brother all sitting around in the courtyard. And Moses' mom looks at me and she says, "Reed, tell me about this Jesus that my son Moses is talking about." So right there, share the good news of Jesus with Moses' mom, three sisters, and brother. And Moses' mom, three sisters, and brother all gave their lives to Jesus Christ. Isn't that awesome? Yes, God is so good. And one thing I'll never forget is Moses' mom looked me right in the eyes, and she said, "Reed, I want to give my life to Jesus because of the change that I've seen in my son Moses." You think about 2 Corinthians 5:17, right? That if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. And I take a quick pause and say, do people see the change in your life? When they see you, are they attracted to you because of your love for Christ, your passion for him? So finally came the last night of the festival, and Moses decided to go for broke. Remember those 10 friends of his at the soccer match that were jeering? Do you remember that? Well, anyway, he went out and invited those 10 guys to come to the festival. And that last night at the festival, those 10 guys went from jeering to cheering as all 10 of them gave their lives to Jesus Christ. My friends, in a span of 6 days, 26 of Moses' family and friends who are Muslims are today followers of Jesus Christ. Isn't that awesome? Yes, as Tom will probably sing tonight, our God is mighty to save, isn't he? And if God can use Moses from Africa, God can use you to reach your community, your area, your home for Jesus Christ. I remember this saying in Africa I once heard about being a witness for Christ. They said, if not you, then who? If not here, then where? If not now, then when? And I firmly believe that when you give God an open heart, he'll give you an open door to reach people for him. So have that passion. Say, Jesus, no matter what, I want you to use me for your glory, for your honor and praise. And tell him you need your help. Be real with him. Say, Lord, I can't do this on my own. Help me get rid of this garbage in my life, you know, that's keeping me from fully yours. And you know that, and say, God, you know, reveal to me, what is keeping me, what is holding me back from being courageous and compassionate for you? Does God have all of you? My friends, I say this a lot, but David was talking about my saying all for Jesus. I mean, the reason why I say that all the time is it's a reminder for myself as well. You know, it's hard to be a follower of Jesus Christ. But I tell you what, there's nothing greater. There's nothing greater than having a relationship with Jesus Christ, to spend time with him every day, to allow him to use you to impact lives for Jesus. You know, people always think too, and again, I talk about this, how the enemy plays this lie in our head that people don't want to hear about Jesus. That's just not true. I'm not talking about just the festivals I speak at. This is one-on-one evangelism. People on the plane, people at the gas station, at the grocery store. I would say 8 out of 10 people that I talk to one-on-one are open to hearing about Jesus. Now, do they all give their lives to the Lord? No, but are they open? Yes. Especially with the time that we live in. Just the chaos around the Middle East and all the things going on in the world. People are wondering, okay, if I couldn't put my faith in my retirement, my 401k, whatever, my boat, my house, whatever, if my equity and all my things are tumbling, he said, is there a God and does he care about me? People are asking that question. And my friends, God wants to use you to be his ambassador. You know, I love what Paul said in Philemon 1:6. He says, I pray that you may be active. Say active. Active in sharing your faith so that you have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. You know, for me, I have the privilege every time I get to tell someone about Jesus, I'm remembering the very thing. You know, John 3:16. That was the verse that made God get a hold of my heart to give my life to him. You know, for God so loved the world. You ever thought about that? I always like to say, put your name there. For God so loved you that he gave his one only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's amazing. But Jesus died for you, yes, but he died for everybody. And he loves your friend. He loves your neighbor. And if you don't tell him about Jesus, who's going to do it? If you're not courageous and compassionate for Christ, who's going to do it? Like I talked about, I still remember my friends in school I played football with. This is before I came to Christ. And we'd hang out, and they never told me about Jesus. Like, what kind of friends were they anyway? So just allow God to have all of you. Say, God, I'm tired of living my life for myself. I want you to be number one in my life. And then watch him move in a mighty way. And then thirdly and finally, this afternoon, I'll encourage you to be contagious in your actions for Jesus. To be contagious. How many of you got sick from a family member, friend, or whatever this past flu season, sick season? How many of you? Raise your hand if you got sick, okay? I have three young kids. I tell you what, I'm getting sick all the time. Kids are always like, hi, Dad, sneeze right in my face. And I was like, ugh. Anyway. But think about this. Think about that if you were so contagious for Christ, that the people that you're around were impacted with his love, with his grace, with his mercy, with his forgiveness. You know, one of my favorite verses in the Bible is Isaiah 43:25, where God says, I am he who blots out your transgressions. Okay, transgressions is a big word. It means breaking the law, breaking the commandments. God says, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more. You ever think about that? You've probably heard this song by Audio Adrenaline. Talks about our sins kind of be buried on the ocean floor. I mean, think about that. Our God is so forgiving. He is so loving. And again, he wants to use you to be contagious for him. You know, when Jesus gave the Great Commission in Matthew 28, right? He said, therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. But you know what I love is how often when God gives us a commandment in his word, he follows it up with a promise. You ever notice that? I love it. God says, okay, go out and make disciples, but you're not alone. He says, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Because see, you and I, we don't save anyone. The Spirit of God works in us and through us, right, to convict people of their sins and draw them to the Savior. But you and I have the greatest privilege of being his hands and his feet, his ambassadors, his messengers of the good news of Jesus Christ. The fact that he died on the cross for our sins, that he rose again from the grave, and that anyone that comes to him by faith can be sure that all their sins are forgiven. They have a relationship with God, not a religion, a relationship. And the Holy Spirit comes and lives in their life to help them live the Christian life, and they can be sure when they die, they'll go to heaven as opposed to hell. That is the greatest news of all, and God wants to use you to make a difference for eternity. 1 Timothy 4:12, for all my young friends out there, says this. It says, do not let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. Do you know that most people that make a decision for Christ do so under the age of 17 or under? So for all my young friends out there, you have so many people in your sphere of influence that desperately need Jesus, and God wants to use you to impact their world. 1 Peter 3:15 says, but in your heart set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But don't forget this last part. It says, do this with gentleness and respect. To be prepared, to be ready. One of the great ways to be prepared is be praying up. You know, spend time praying for God to give you opportunities and praying for people you know that don't know the Lord. Another great way to be prepared to be contagious for Christ is to memorize God's word. How many of you consistently memorize the word of God? Okay, quite a few of you. Remember when Jesus responded in Matthew 4 to the devil? He said, well, if you're the Son of God, turn this rock into bread, right? And Jesus said, it is written, you know, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And the Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the words of Christ. So Hebrews 4 talks about the word of God kind of being that sword, right? That the Spirit of God uses to convict people of their sins and draw them to the Savior. The Word of God is our authority, so I encourage you to memorize that as you share the good news with others. Because God is passionately excited, I guess that's okay to say, passionately excited to use you to impact people's lives. You know, Jesus says in Acts 1:8, he says, but you receive power. Say power. Power. Receive power. And that word actually is translated in the Greek, dynamite, when you think about that, explosion. You receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Remember one time, I got a couple more stories and I'll close, but this one time I was speaking at a camp. This is several years ago, and I literally step on the campground. I'm walking to my area, and this young girl with all of her friends, about four of them, come running up to me, and she looks at me and she says, are you the camp speaker? I'm like, yeah. I was like, right, for all for Jesus, high five, right? And she says, well, listen up. She says, I don't believe in God. I don't want anything to do with God. Leave me alone. I'm thinking, man, this camp's going to be awesome. These kids are fired up for Jesus. Like, woohoo. Like, whoa, tough crowd. I haven't even started speaking. But it was so amazing to see how God was getting a hold of this young girl's life. Her name was Johanna. She was an orphan, in and out of foster care her whole life. Now she's about 14 years old. I started praying for Johanna, and I know she had a bunch of her friends that were praying for her too. About 2 days later at the camp, she comes up to me and she says, Reed, you wouldn't believe it, but I woke up at 4 in the morning. I was shaking. I was shivering. I was sweating. I was like, what's going on? I said, well, you know, don't eat the camp food. And I didn't say that. Anyway, I said, what's going on? I said, you know what? Johanna, God is showing that he's real and he cares about you. About two nights later, after I got done speaking, this was later on, and I was walking down. I looked back at the kind of camp area where I'd been speaking earlier, and there's Johanna all by herself with her Bible open, just crying her eyes out. It's like, whoa. So I grabbed some of the women leaders, and we went up to the front, and Johanna was just crying. She said, if God really loves me, you know, is he real? So again, went through the good news of Jesus and said, Johanna, you know, do you want to turn from your sins? Do you want to begin a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? And right there, Johanna, through those tears, she said, yes, I want Jesus. So right there, Johanna prayed and gave her life to Jesus Christ. The camp got done Saturday. Following week, they had like a camp reunion, and kids were kind of talking about how God got a hold of their lives. Well, Johanna gets up there to give her testimony, and she says, well, many of you know my background, you know, being an orphan in foster care and just really struggling with my self-worth and all the things that she did. She was a cutter. She did all these terrible things, you know. And then she finally got a sense that God loved her. She said, you know, I was so overwhelmed that God loved me. And she said, now that I've given my life to Jesus, I really have a reason to live. And she said, after coming to Christ, I was so overwhelmed with his love. Since camp, I've led 5 of my friends to faith and trust in Jesus Christ. So Johanna said, 5 of her. Isn't that awesome? Yeah, give God a hand clap. I mean, that's amazing. So here's this girl a week earlier telling me she doesn't want anything to do with God. So now she's been, God used her to reach 5 of her friends to Christ. I would say Johanna was contagious for God, wouldn't you? And if God can use Johanna, he wants to use you. I can't think about anything greater than telling people about Jesus Christ. I can't think of anything greater than allowing God to use you to impact your world for Jesus Christ. Because if not you, then who? If not here, then where? If not now, then when? You may say, why are you so passionate about telling your friends or people about Jesus, Reed? Well, because God gave me a second chance. You see, I had a good friend named Connor. Now, Connor and I were good buddies. We played football together. We hung out all the time. He's a really good friend of mine. We were playing football one day. It seemed like a typical day. Had football practice. Everything was great. Connor got in a car later on that evening, hit a tree, went off the road, hit a tree, and he died on the spot. And the thing that kind of haunts me, I know God's, I mean, I've moved on from that, but I share this to kind of illustrate it. One of the hardest things for me is the fact that I'd never told Connor about Jesus. Here I am, you know, making fun of my friends earlier, but I was in that same spot. I never told Connor about Jesus Christ. And he died, and I know that he didn't know Jesus. I know he's in hell right now. And I think about that to say, you know, don't waste your life, you guys. And I remember from that commitment, I said, God, you know what? I'm going to give you every ounce of me because I don't ever want to make that mistake again. Now, again, the blame's not all on us. Obviously, you're right. You know, God saves people. But we really do have a responsibility as followers of Christ, a privilege to tell others about him. And not telling Connor about Jesus really rocked my world. And so I want to just encourage you as a friend to a friend, as a brother in Christ to a brother and a sister in Christ, don't waste your life. Our time here on earth is so quick. I know you want to look back and say, God, thank you that you used my life to impact people's lives. Now, you may not lead many people to Christ, but that one person that you tell, that one person that you share will impact so many lives. And I'll finish with this story. It's a little more positive, sort of. Anyway, my wife, Carmen, is probably one of the best, I guess, contagious people I know for Christ. In fact, this week she's working with Child Evangelism Fellowship, doing a camp. We have lots of our neighbor kids come to Christ every year as they move in. It's just a great ministry. But my wife Carmen has a passion for telling people about Jesus. Several years ago, she was working at a grocery store. This is before we met. And she was working in the deli department. And she was working with a fellow employee whose name was Nina. They began a relationship, a friendship, and she was praying for Nina like every day and saying, God, you know, when's a good time to tell her about you? And she was praying, and finally one day God really prompted her, now's the time to go tell Nina about me, God was telling her. So she went over to Nina and said, Nina, you know, after work, I'd like to talk to you about something very important to me. And Nina said, okay. So they went out and went to coffee, and Carmen told Nina the good news of Jesus, and God got all of her heart, and Nina gave her life to the Lord. Now we'll fast forward several years now. Nina now is married. She's got a 12-year-old daughter. Her 12-year-old daughter is very active in sports, great soccer player, great student. Seems like everything is great, going great in life. One day she comes home and she says, Mom, you know what? I'm just not feeling very good. She says, okay, we'll go lay down. And time's going by and still not getting better. Take her to the doctors. Doctors can't figure out. Go home, rest. It'll hopefully pass. None of the tests are showing up anything else. Anyway, about another day goes by, and sadly, this little girl ends up dying. Very tragic. So Carmen ends up going to the funeral, and Nina's up in the front row crying her eyes out. I mean, I can't imagine using a child. I can't imagine if one of my kids died. But anyway, she's sitting up in the front crying, and Carmen comes up, and Nina's with those tears. She says, Carmen, come here. She gives her a big hug. She says, I gotta tell you this story. She said, Nina said that her little girl came up to her 2 days before she got sick. And she said, Mom, I know you've been taking me to church all these years, and I know that you love Jesus, and I see that in your life. And she says, Mom, I think I'm ready to give my life to Jesus. Can you tell me how I can do that? So we flash back. Nina's got tears, and she says, Carmen, remember when you told me about Jesus when we were working together those years back? And she said, yeah. She said, remember I gave my life to Jesus, and my little girl saw that in me, and I got to lead my girl to Christ 2 days before she got sick and died. And then through those tears, she said these powerful words that just rocks me every time I think about it. She said, because of you, Carmen, because of you, I'm going to see my little girl in heaven. Think about that. Let's fast forward now, and you're in heaven. You shared the gospel with your friend at school, your neighbor who mows the lawn right next to you, the person that sits in the cubicle with you at work, wherever. They say, remember me? You invited me over to your barbecue or your house one summer. Well, I started thinking about God. I went to church. I gave my life to Jesus. And because of you, I'm here in heaven. Remember me? We shared lockers together in eighth grade. Remember how you invited me to youth group that one time? Maybe you invited me to Creation Fest one time? Well, I gave my life to Jesus at Creation. And because of you, I'm here in heaven. That's powerful stuff. But see, God wants to use you to make a difference for eternity. So my prayer from the bottom of my heart is your brother and your friend, as you allow God to use you to live your life out loud, as you're courageous, as you're compassionate, and you're contagious for Christ. Because if not you, then who? If not here, then where? If not now, then when? May we live our lives all for the one who was all for us, all for Jesus. As the Bible says in Psalm 115:1, not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory because of your love and faithfulness. Let's pray. Let's pray. Our loving Father, God, I'm just moved again, just looking into your word and just your love for us, God, that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. God, that our lives were of such value and worth in your eyes that you would send your own son, Jesus, to come to earth, born as a baby, to live a sinless, perfect life, and to be the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, that your son would die in our place for our sins and rise again from the grave. God, that is amazing, incredible, indescribable love. And Father, I thank you that your love that you have for us, but I know there's so many people, God, that we know that don't know you, like my sister Andrea, and I want to pray for her, and I want to pray for all my friends right here, God, that have loved ones, neighbors, coworkers, friends, brother, sister, son, daughter, someone they know that doesn't know you. God, we just lay them before you on an altar saying, God, may your spirit touch their heart. May you draw them to yourself. And Father, I pray you forgive me for times that I haven't told others about you, and I pray that for all of us, God, that we would really fully surrender to you, God. As your word says in John 15:5, that you are the vine, we're the branches, God. If we abide in you and you in us, we'll bear much fruit. But as you say at the end of that verse, God, that apart from you, we can do nothing. So, Father, I just pray in the power of your Holy Spirit that you would work in us and through us, God, to be a bright light for you, to be courageous, to be compassionate, to be contagious. And all that we do, God, we want to see your Son, Jesus Christ, lifted up. They might draw all men to himself. God, our lives aren't ours, they're yours. And we pray that you be glorified through us. We thank you that you're mighty to save. We thank you for what you're doing here at Creation. And I just pray you continue working all the hearts of my friends right here as you're working in my heart even now, right now. God, we give you all the glory. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you guys so much. I've got a book at my table at Ghana Fest. I'll do a 2-for-1 if you want to take one and give one to a friend. I wrote for people that are seeking God or have just given their life to the Lord. Come by the Ghana Fest table right now. Sign up, grab someone from Compassion. We'd love for you to come with